Judaism does not claim that it is the only way, that it is only through it and a total embracing of its tenets that one can be worthy of merit. The rabbis developed a theme or an idea that there are seven Noahide laws. Now, of course, this refers to Noah, right, and the famous flood and the ark, because Noah is basically the father of all mankind, in that all the rest of mankind was destroyed during the flood. And the rabbis talk about seven laws that are incumbent on all of mankind, the sons of Noah. And if they keep this, they are worthy of the next world. These laws, these seven laws, include the three precepts for which Jews must also be willing to surrender their lives and to become martyrs, and that is total removal from idolatry, from sexual misconduct, and from murder, from bloodshed. The other four Noahide commandments, according to the rabbis, were not to blaspheme, to set up a just legal system, not to steal, and this is the most particularistic, but it may say something about a humanitarian or more than a humanitarian approach to life, not to eat flesh cut from a live animal. One wonders how that got into the seven. Those who adhere to these laws, according to the rabbis, from among the Gentiles, have a place in the world to come. And in essence, they're no different from Israel, from Jews. So it is not incumbent on all members of the human race to keep the Torah. Nevertheless, Judaism is completely open to all those wishing to convert out of religious conviction. And this is a very important point. Although there might be an ethnic component to Judaism, I think we can do away with this issue of racism, because racism would claim, obviously, that only members of a particular race warrant inclusion in that particular group, whereas Judaism says anybody can join the group. And once you join the group, you are a full member of the group. And there's absolutely nothing that separates you from the rest of the community of Israel. And there is, to be honest, there is a perception that rabbinic Judaism was less than enthusiastic about conversion. There is a statement that appears in the Talmud in the name of one of the rabbis that proselytes are harmful to Israel like a scab. However, this is a minority opinion, and this has already been researched by scholars. This is not apologetics that I think I'm discussing now. This happens to be a minority opinion in rabbinic literature. And it became prominent not so much in the Talmudic period. It became prominent in the Middle Ages, when the active seeking of converts might have endangered the community, because clearly Jews were living primarily among Christians, or in certain cases among Muslims, and to induce people of that ruling religion to opt out and join Judaism would have been difficult and would have been dangerous. And the rabbis could not deny the phenomenon of righteous converts already in the Bible. One example, Ruth the Moabite, the hero of the book of Ruth, was the ancestor of King David himself, and of course, by extension, she is the progenitor of the Messiah, of the coming Messiah. And that sends a clear message that the Messiah is a descendant of converts. Numerous sages of the Second Temple period, of the rabbinic period, were themselves the descendants of proselytes. And Talmudic sources were particularly fond of a motif that projected foreign rulers, including certain Roman emperors, of crossing the boundary into Judaism. Now, the historicity of these claims is highly, highly doubtful, but that's not the point. One doesn't care if Nero embraced Judaism or if Hadrian, we can be fairly certain that they did not, right? What is important is that the rabbis were willing to entertain such wishful thinking. And in fact, it wasn't always wishful thinking. We have documented evidence of certain major and high officials in the Roman world and elsewhere that joined Judaism. In fact, in the first centuries of the Common Era, some of the juiciest scandals in Rome, in the capital city of Rome, were when suddenly a particular senator, Flavius Clemens, or a woman, Flavia Domitilla, in other words, members of the highest society of the Roman Empire, suddenly emerged as Jews, and nobody knew about this. And this was not; these were not isolated cases. Now, an interesting case took place in the first century within the royal family of a small kingdom north of Mesopotamia, north of Iraq, that converted to Judaism and moved to Jerusalem. This was the nation or the monarchy of Adiabene, which is sort of biblical Assyria. And this story is told not only by Josephus and by rabbinic sources, but we have hard archaeological evidence for this as well.